In sports, the tape never tells the whole story. Hiring is no different. AI can make candidates look like an MVP on paper, so knowing the person and the skills behind the resume really matters. That's where Robert Half changes the game. Our recruiters combine their expertise with award-winning AI to evaluate skills and fit quickly. Learn how we can find you specialized talent in finance, accounting, technology, and more. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Ever start a new supplement and wonder, is this really working? You're not alone. Most supplements aren't easily absorbed, which means your body might not be getting the nutrients it needs. Symbiotica takes a different approach, with formulas designed for maximum absorption. Favorites, like their liposomal vitamin C, support a strong immune system and boost natural collagen production. And their newest standout, liquid colostrum, is essential for a healthy gut, packed with nutrients that soothe and restore the gut lining. Symbiotica's clean, bioavailable supplements help your body actually use what you take, delivering real results. And with a monthly subscription, it's easy to stay consistent. Symbiotica makes wellness simple. Ready to feel the difference? Go to Symbiotica.com and use code START for 20% off. That's Symbiotica.com, code START.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to The Early Wedge. It's the live chat. It's me, Sian Ajad, and it's Rick Gaiman. It's usually also with Patrick McDonald, Rick, but he is gallivanting around the grounds at TPC Sawgrass, and it's just too important to join us. How you doing, buddy?
I love the description. I'm doing well. I love the description of what Patrick McDonald is up to right now. I don't know if he's gallivanting. He might be. I don't know. I can't confirm that. But yeah, happy. We love him on the show. But hey, he's boots on the ground. Can't blame him for that. That's cool.
In all seriousness, before we get into the players live chat, and thanks for being in here. Did you see the Max Homa interview that he did?
I did. Patrick's great at that stuff.
It was so good.
Yeah.
I think just there's such a talent in, I guess Max Homa is going to be kind of chill and nice anyway, but in disarming the guest and making it kind of a conversation as opposed to shouting questions at somebody, he's so good at that.
Those interviews that get set up, they can be really awkward. It usually takes the first 10 minutes to like feel each other out and like break down that barrier. Patrick does it very, very quickly. And I think that he walks the fine line of, hey, we're just buddies chatting, but while we're just buddies chatting, give me some valuable and interesting information that you haven't told anybody else. So it doesn't feel like it's just one of these Max Homas going on every podcast and shilling whatever product that he's supposed to be advertising that week. No, Patrick does an excellent job at that. I wish we put him in, we're able to put him in more situations to do that.
Well, hopefully we will. And I think you can find that interview on the Golf on CBS channel. You're probably watching us on the Sportsline YouTube channel. So you're certainly in the right spot. And eventually that Golf on CBS, I think Rick is going to be kind of like molded into this one. So just make sure if you're listening to this, you're on the Sportsline YouTube channel. We already have some questions in the chat. Give us your questions and comments, maybe some of your picks. But before we get there, Rick, talk to me about, we always like to have a jump off point. Talk to me about maybe the headline going into this tournament, whether it's from a betting or DFS standpoint, like what's at top of mind right now?
Well, I think, I mean, I could kind of loop this into one of the, like that question there from Joseph Bozo that says, is this a good week to bet down the betting board? And I think, you know, the big word of the week is volatility, but it's not really just a talking point. That's true. I mean, there are very few golfers, even the top ones, that have a lot of sustained success around here because this golf course it's kind of random at times, right? One or two bad swings find the water. If you do that on Thursday or Friday, see ya. You won't be around for the weekend. We've seen times where that afternoon Florida wind picks up and wipes out a wave just entirely. So there is a lot of volatility here. So I do think that I'm almost kind of taking like a almost like a barbell approach to this. I think that I want to live with the guys who are most likely to separate themselves from tee to green, the Colin Morikawas of the world, if you want to get into to Ludvig Åbergs and Hideki Matsuyama, whatever you want there. And then I am going to look fairly far down this board for just kind of really high upside talent. You know, who could conceivably win a Players Championship? For example, as I'm looking, like, I don't think he's going to win this week, but like Harris English could conceivably win this golf tournament. Ricky Fowler could conceivably win this golf tournament. There are other guys that I would be pretty concerned about Ben Griffin trying to win this golf tournament. But yeah, I think it's going to be both ends of the board here and see if I can have my cake and eat it too.
It's interesting because I do think to Joseph Bose's question, and Joseph, thanks for being in here. I know you're in a lot of these chats and we appreciate you very much, but there, to me, there's like, I split this in two groups because I don't want to bet down the board really, because I do think at this type of tournament, you're looking at, you know, one of the top 10, 20 players probably winning it. And I think we can reduce a lot of the win equity to maybe the top five or six. With that said, I do think there's betting opportunities, not necessarily in the outright market, in that finishing position market with like your top 30s or your top 40s. And the reason I say that, and we talked about this on the DFS show, Rick, is I don't think there's a huge, huge difference between the 7 and 6K and the 6 and 5K. In fact, you know, me and Mike were talking about how we think the 5K could outperform the 6K. What that does to me is present some value. If we're looking at the odds board, it presents some value for some of those long shot types to, especially at a volatile event like this, to cash in that top 30, top 40 market. Maybe you could do top 22, depending on the name. But I do think because they're so far down on the board and because the talent gap just isn't a lot, let's go odds, like between the 70 to ones and the 110 to ones. I think there's some value there in betting that finishing position market.
The top 40 market turns from negative odds to even money at Tom Kim. Okay, so put that into perspective. So Tom Kim in the top 40 market is the first of even money golfers. Then everybody below him on the board, you are getting more favorable odds on. But I guess to your point, is there a tangible difference between Nikolai Højgaard finishing inside the top 40 and Matt Fitzpatrick finishing inside the top 40? Because there's a pretty significant difference in the odds. Matt Fitzpatrick's plus 120, Nikolai Højgaard's plus 175. So mm-hmm. I think that if I'm understanding you correctly, I'm agreeing with you that there yeah. are a lot of other markets where golfers 40 through 90 are very, very similar.
I mean, you couldn't have given a better example between Matt Fitzpatrick and Nikolai Højgaard, because I mentioned again on the Monday show, the DFS show, like, even though that's not a betting show, I like interrupted you to be like, hey, let's fade Matt Fitzpatrick to like this week, because he's just, the ball striking is just so bad. And Nikolai Højgaard is a guy that I think you can play in DFS because I think the upside is certainly there for him, but also potentially play him in like a, even like a top 20, top 30 market, if you want to just sprinkle there because of how long the odds are on a guy like them and the gap, certainly the upside gap to me, I don't know, I guess maybe somebody would argue the other way, but I don't think it's that big of a difference that one should be plus 120 and one should be plus 170. So I think that's actually a really good example. Let's get to some questions. Let's get to a couple questions, and because I have some headline stuff, but I think we kind of just talked about it, and we'll talk about it more later on in the show. Let's start with Joe Neuenfeld. He has a tournament matchup question. I like this quite a bit. He says, anyone like the tournament matchup? Michael Kim over Davis Thompson minus 125. Rick, I think Davis Thompson has plenty of upside, but I think the downside is really there. And I think Michael Kim's floor is a lot higher. So when I look at tournament matchups and I look at the prospect of four rounds, now granted it could be two, Michael Kim minus 125 feels like that should be minus 135, minus 140, right?
Well, the thing with Michael Kim is he's playing great golf, first off. Like, let me just get that out of the way here. He is playing like a top 15 player in the world over his last 20 rounds. It's a small sample size, but it's a really, really good sample size. The way that he is being treated in outright markets is you know, kind of running shockwaves through the rest of the markets, right? So that affects his top five numbers, top 10 number. It affects the matchups that he is being put up against. So he is getting a pretty good draw on Davis Thompson, who, quite honestly, you know, since his victory last year, he's been good. He hasn't been great. He's struggling in a lot of areas. The putter's been a massive concern. I think he's starting to turn the corner, but even as the advanced metrics have gotten better, he's missed his last two cuts. So there is not a connection yet between the play that he's putting on a spreadsheet and the result that he's getting in the golf tournament, which is usually means there's more time to come here. So yes, I would be on the Michael Kim side of this one, for probably two or three reasons that I think are pretty important.
Yeah, and I'm looking at your cheat sheet on rickrungood.com because I can't remember if Davis Thompson has played here before. Do you remember off the top of your head?
I can pull it up right now. I would say he has to have. Yeah, okay. So he played
here. He's played twice.
Yeah, last year he missed the cut. Yeah. And then in 2023, he finished 68th. So a couple of he played better in 2023. He was horrible on Sunday, but he played better before that. But yeah, not a great record here by any means.
And some people might look at Michael Kim and they might be like, well, he doesn't have a good track record here either. But like, Rick, we all agree this is a completely different person, like maybe actually a different person than what we saw 4 or 5 years ago or even 3 years
you
ago.
You never, ever, ever look at Michael Kim's tournament history.
Yeah.
One, it doesn't matter because you're right. He's gone through so many changes and they have stuck, and he has proven that basically since he went down to the Korn Ferry Tour and got his card back. So what are we going on? Like, this is year two of the piece. So we're talking like 3 years. Michael Kim has been a lot better. And he went through like a 5 year stretch where all of his tournament history is going to be miscut. Like, you just ignore it 100%. Yeah.
I'm looking at the weighted tee to green numbers last 24 rounds. He's number two in the field. Behind, by the way, Justin Thomas, who I think is a name that's going to come up on this show that I think is really interesting.
I'm not even kidding. See, if I just removed his name, or if I just like changed his profile for his, like, Xander Schauffele's, you'd be like, yeah, this looks exactly right.
That's what we've been saying. Like, we talked about this last week, that if you remove Sepp Straka is another example, but we talked about how if you remove the name Michael Kim and you looked at the profile, you'd be like, oh, that's Xander. That's Colin. Right. And by the way, I went back, because 24 rounds is a pretty small sample size. I went back 36 rounds, and I believe he is still number two weighted tee to green.
And I mean, listen, I could spend the next like 45 minutes talking about Michael Kim, and I will if you want me to, but you're right in the sense that it is a small sample size, but it is like not that small. Like, exactly. it's getting dangerously close to being a very strong sample size. So yeah, Michael Kim in a lot of situations, honestly, except for this one that Michael has thrown up on the chat here. I mean, so the question is, he only has Michael Kim versus Alex Smalley and Sam Stevens. Alex Smalley, I think, is criminally mispriced in the markets. Agreed. And Sam Stevens has modeled really well for me this week. I just wouldn't touch that one, Michael. I mean, that's just a stay away for me.
So I did a three ball matchup that I gave out on the Early Edge a few minutes ago, and it was not a three ball. It was a three ball matchup, which you can only find on DK, I believe. And so I was able to single out Michael Kim versus Sam Stevens. And that was minus 140, which is super juicy. And I do like Sam Stevens' game, but I just want to ride Michael Kim as much as I can in the betting market. So I went with that juicy play, and I gave that out. That one's tomorrow morning. Starts at around, I think, like they go off around 8 o'clock in the morning.
And from what I understand, you will be able to watch every group live. So this is a sick week for three ball matchups for what, like, because you should. In theory, if I understand what Commissioner Jay Monahan has said, like, you're going to be able to follow along with the Michael Kim, Alex Smalley, Sam Stevens group.
That's awesome. All right, we're going to get to some more questions, some more of your comments. I do want to point out, I got in the chat, I said, hit the like button. You know, I do want to mention, this is obviously the Early Wedge, Expanded Early Wedge. We just started this 2 weeks ago. So your support at this juncture of the expanded version is really important. So hitting the like button, maybe retweeting some of the tweets with respect to some of the shows, or just liking the tweets, things like that. Just getting this stuff circulating, certainly important for the show. So if you're a fan of the Early Edge or the Early Wedge, your participation early is pretty critical. We appreciate it. Go ahead, Rick.
While we're making announcements, agreed. The Early Wedge One and Done starts this week. So if you want to get involved in the One and Done, it is free to enter, $0 entry fee. Our homies over at Splash Sports hooked it up with a $5,000 purse. So the winner is going to get $1,000 If you finish inside the top, I think it's 100, you're getting at least $100, and it's completely free to enter. So it opens it up to more states. This is the thing we were waiting on for legal to get figured out for so long. It is up and running and it starts this week. So no time to wait. I'm sure Josh has the link in the description. You can get in on that.
Yeah, Josh, I was going to say it's probably in the podcast description. It's probably in the YouTube description. But for those in the live chat, I wonder, Josh, if you could just put the link in the actual chat so that while they're watching the show, maybe they can click on it while we're talking. That would be helpful too. Shouldn't be hard to find regardless. Justin Pora says, since there is a little more volatility, will you be increasing your player pool for a 20 max? Rick, this is interesting because I did recommend, this is a really good tournament to like have that 20 max. Maybe you don't usually do 20 maxes, but maybe this is a good tournament to do that because of the volatility, because of that barbell approach you talked about. I don't know that I'd be increasing the player pool, but I'd be more willing to speculate in that 5K range with that barbell approach. But anyway, what's your answer to this?
I think this is a lot of personal preference, Justin. You know, in theory, changing your process probably doesn't need to happen. But listen, I get it. It's a big event, and you want to have people who are in the mix on Sunday, and to give yourself a better chance at that, having more people might be the way to do that. So I think there's a lot of personal preference here. I will probably do that. I will probably expand, like you said, Sia, speculate the 6 and 5K range. I will also probably create more lineups that are non-Scotty lineups, something like that, or not. You know, maybe they are a little less chalky at the top, where I think you could find more leverage quickly if one of those guys who is going to be 20% owned or more misses the cut. So those are the ways that I would probably go about doing it, as opposed to just creating 20 more lineups. Maybe it's 20 additional lineups. 10 of them are highly speculative in the lower ranges, and 10 of them are significantly less chalky at the top.
Which probably means you are increasing your player pool to some degree. But yeah, I would approach it the same exact way. I think this is a really good week to do the 20 max, whether you're manually filling out or you're kind of using the Excel stuff. I think this is a really good week to speculate on that volatility. All right, we got to get to a break, and there's so many more questions that we need to get to. So we're going to do that right after this message from our partners.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
We're back on the Early Wedge. It's me, it's Rick Game, and next week it'll probably be me, Rick, and Patrick McDonald. Rick,
who knows?
Sites, say it again.
Who knows? Maybe he'll be somewhere, you know, somewhere else avoiding us.
Maybe he can bring in Max Homa, his buddy. They seem like they were buddies, man. That was really cool. Again, go check out the interview. Honestly, go to Golf on CBS. What I did initially was I just went to YouTube and I put in Patrick McDonald, Max Homa, and it just, perfect. The Golf on CBS, that was the first thing that popped up. So you can do that too. I promise you, this interview, you know, all these golfers typically kind of give you like the answers as opposed to like their actual answer. And Max Homa talking, being critical of his game, talking Tiger. There was just like a lot of really sincere moments in that interview. All right. Sites 501 says, barring a bad weather day, Thursday or Friday, what is your guess for the cut line? Rick, do you have a guess at the cut line? I don't think we're going to have bad weather Thursday or Friday.
So, oh boy. Okay. So hold on. I got to do a little quick math here. Agreed. As of right now, the forecast looks very clean for Thursday and Friday. The weekend a little bit worse, maybe some winds on Saturday, some rain and some winds on Sunday. From what I understand, they've been getting a lot of rain the last couple of weeks, and I think even earlier this week. So I think it'll play a little bit easier. I'm going to say the cut line, call it 2 under, like 4 under. I'm kind of making that up off the top of my head. I'm sure if I look, there might be a prop for that, but I'm thinking like 4 under-ish.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just going to co-sign that. Let's go to Ziggy. What do you guys think about Tom Kim? So, Rick, Tom Kim is a guy that I think from a DFS standpoint is interesting because I don't think he'll get a lot of ownership. And I would say, you know, maybe a decent course fit. His short game, though, has been awful. I mean, I'm kind of looking to fade him. In fact, I think I might have a matchup that perhaps I haven't given out quite yet that is in that fade Tom Kim department. Your thoughts?
He's been very bad on the putting surfaces, which is not the end of the world because he has flipped that quickly at times, and he has literally put together some of the best putting performances in ShotLink history. So I'm not super concerned. I am concerned. But the around the green play has been bad. This is a golf course that is going to ask you a lot from tee to green, and that I feel like sometimes we'll say tee to green when really we mean ball striking. But this golf course does ask you a lot. I mean, there's bunkers everywhere and they're very difficult bunkers to get up and down out of. I believe they're the second most difficult bunkers, greenside bunkers to make par from on the PGA Tour. So you really do have to be sound there. And I'm worried about the form that he comes in with. He can still get a little loose off the tee at times. I think this is going to be a pretty tough ask of Tom Kim.
Yeah, that's why I think speculating with him in a random DFS lineup or two is probably the play. Somebody I'm probably looking to fade. All right, Justin Porras says, I watched a couple other YouTube channels. You guys are still my number one, though. Oh, so he's basically saying, I've got a couple of mistresses, but you're my main.
I still love you.
Yeah, which is very cool, by the way. I'm happy.
I'm less happy about that. He's been out and about all around town, and now he's crawling back. I think we should make him pay.
Hey, Rick, it's a different time. It's a different age. They mentioned using total driving as a stat to look at. So this is a good question. How does total driving compare to, he says, strokes gained driving? I wonder if he means strokes gained off the tee there and good drive percentage. Is there one that, you know, you kind of lean on? Is there a nuance that you appreciate with one more than the other?
Yeah, I mean, strokes gained off the tee is a much more comprehensive stat because it's looking at your drive, how it compares to the field average, how it compares to everybody else. It is a much more complete stat. Total driving is okay, but all it does is it takes your rank in driving distance and your ranking driving accuracy and adds them together. It's a little dated. And then good drive percentage, I think, is a very, very valuable stat, but not necessarily here. So good drive percentage means did you hit the fairway or did you hit the green or fringe in regulation. So okay. It basically says, did you give yourself a chance to hit the green in regulation, right? You didn't hit one in the water. You didn't hit one behind a tree. You didn't put yourself in such a bad situation. I like those at more positional golf courses where, it's more tree lines and things of that nature. So they all have their purpose. I think for this week, strokes gained off the tee is, it is not only the best of the stats in the way that it's calculated, but I also think it's more valuable around here.
I have heard some people say that this is a somewhat of a positional track. Would you disagree with that?
Yes, I would.
I also said, I heard people say the opposite. So, you know, I'm not saying the dominant theory here.
I guess the position is just not wet, right? Like don't be wet, find grass. I think that there are some spots When I think positional, I think that everybody ends up playing from the same location, right? Like a Pebble Beach or a Harbor Town where everybody plays, or Colonial, where everybody plays to the end of a dog leg or something like that. I think that the better drivers are going to have a chance to separate themselves this week.
Jeff Stenberg, always a masochist. He says, is there a particular top player you think will struggle this week? I'd love to bet a missed cut. Their misery will be my joy. Jeez.
Oh, my God.
It's getting dark.
Did he have to add all that other stuff in there, too?
So, Rick, I think I've mentioned this before. Jeff is like the class clown that, like, from like your third grade and sixth grade class. Like, and this is a compliment. He's actually really funny and also extremely sarcastic. So any Jeff Stenberg comment, always kind of take with a many grains of sarcasm. With that said, let me just give you a list of Let's go to Justin Thomas. The drop-off will be Patrick Cantlay. Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, Ludwig, Justin Thomas. If you had to pick one of them to struggle and maybe even miss the cut, I mean, it has to be Xander, right? Or not. I don't know. Maybe not.
I think I would narrow it down to Xander and JT. So Xander thing is weird because you're just banking on him being rusty. And because the way that he plays is a pure bogey avoidance game. I mean, he literally has, I know it's kind of phony because of all the no cut events, but he has literally the longest cut streak in the PGA Tour right now. And the second longest since Tiger. So like, there's a reason for that because he plays a very high floor game, which does not bring a lot of bogeys into play. So the only thing with Xander is you are just banking on him being rusty, which I don't love. Justin Thomas, the path for him to miss the cut is, I think, a lot easier. I think it is he yanks two in the water off the tee because he is capable of doing that. And then he loses a stroke and a half putting every day, which is like absolutely possible. So I think that those two would be reasonable. I probably prefer JT to miss the cut more than Xander. The other two, you just cut me off right before Cantlay.
Yeah,
I would have said, so I'm looking at just the top 10 on of DraftKings pricing here. And it Cantlay and Sung Jae Im would be the two that I think. Cantlay is kind of in a weird spot where something is wrong every week and it's something different every single week. So if he's off with the driving and again, he finds the water, if he's off with the second shot, he finds the water. Like, I think there's paths for him. And then Sung Jae, as much as I love the guy, as great as he, like, This is some of the worst golf we've seen him play in his career. And I'm terrified of that.
Approach plays bad on the early wedge betting show yesterday. It's the third week in a row this tournament matchup has been offered. I went ahead and took Shane Lowry again over Sung Jae Im. And it was only minus 125. And listen, there's no guarantees in golf, obviously, especially not on this course. But you're giving me minus 125 against a Sung Jae that has really been struggling with Shane Lowry. I'm going to take that every time. Before we get to the next question, I want to give us some shout outs with people who don't necessarily have questions but are in here. Michael Highsmith or Heimseth, excuse me. Aaron Bailey's in here. Liddy is in here. A lot. Jacob Jackson is in here. Ray Brown, thank you for being in here. Jordan Atienza is in here. Hit the like button if you could and fire away with your questions or your comments. Let's get to the next question. DLG 26 says, Scotty 30% owned in one and done. I do not buy the 17% projected on OFP. I guess I'm supposed to know what OFP is.
I do know what that is. It is office football pool. So this is a very nuanced and interesting question. So for those of you who don't know, if you are in a league on office football pool, you can see the site-wide selections before lock. So it doesn't tell you who has been selected in your league. Like I can't see that Sia and whoever else picked anything, but you can see the millions of selections beforehand. So DLG is playing an incredibly dangerous game right now because that is not a projection on office football pool. That is an actual selection rate. And Scottie Scheffler is being selected at 17%. These numbers, very, very, they are the industry standard. Now, if you're in a smaller league or if you're in a league where you've been listening to Sia talk all week and he's saying he's playing Scottie Scheffler, you might get to 30% if it's you and a bunch of Sia Najad listeners. But this is a very dangerous game to be playing to say that you don't buy those numbers because they are not projections at all. They are selection rates. And the other thing about that, Sia, is you have to remember a couple things.
there's almost, in my opinion, no way Scottie Scheffler gets to 30% in one and done, because he's already been used in 32% of one and dones across the industry. So there's only 68% of users that have him available. We still have the Masters. We still have three other major championships this year. We've got like six other signature events. We've got people who are saving Scottie. I cannot imagine a world in which he gets to 30% this week.
Totally agree. By the way, me, EC, and Patrick McDonald are sharing one in your one and done, Rick, or at least one of your, the big one. Yeah. And we used Scottie last week. Just further evidence of your point. It was a $4 million purse, defending champion, all of those things.
Exactly.
It just made sense to just go ahead and spike on him then. Obviously, it kind of makes sense this week too, but people have used him. Well, people are
But that's the thing, Sia. Like, he's the best option every time he tees it up. So there are like eight really good spots to use him. You don't have to use him here.
Side note, speaking of one and done, we have it. So putting it in the YouTube chat, like, doesn't make a lot of sense because the link becomes a little off as Josh has put in there, but it's already in the YouTube description. So if you're watching us on YouTube, you literally just click the YouTube description, click that more button right below this stream, and you're going to see the link. Just click on it. Again, it's free. And there's what, $5,000 in cash available for this free contest, Rick?
Yeah, that's right. And winner gets $1,000. And then
bragging rights.
Oh my God. Could you imagine the bragging rights? Yeah. And second gets 500, third gets 250, fourth gets 150. And then what we did is, we wanted to kind of give everybody a chance here. So fifth through 35th all get $100. So that's kind of the way that we thought we could do this. And I think also, Sia, we are going to be kind of like tracking the top 10 and such on this show. So like, if you are in the mix there, you will also be getting shout outs here. And I also believe that Josh is going to come in and probably correct us on something.
Oh, no, nice. No corrections, but I've gotten a couple emails about it, about the one and done being hard to find in the app, because it will ask you to go and make picks in the app and like actually interact with the pool on the app rather than through the link. And it's not showing up for everybody. So a couple things I've been emailed, you know, questions on Twitter about. It's branded as early wedge for those who are coming from the first cut universe. I think there's been some searching for first cut. Mm-hmm. First cut branding, but early wedge one and done branding. And the other thing is, one of the ways you can search for things on the Splash app is through creators and like actual accounts. And if you see underneath the actual title, the creator is commish-early wedge. Mm. So if you are having a hard time finding it in any other way, if you search for that, like on the main homepage of the Splash app, you can search for the commissioner of the one and done as well and find it that way.
Got it. Okay. All so right. Early wedge and commish-early wedge is the creator, so they can find it that way. But the direct link, if they click the direct link on their phone, will just take they might have to download the app, I guess.
I think part of the issue is that people saying, I have the app, I'll go find it there, and having a hard time doing it
because it doesn't sit like in the lobby, because this is private for us,
right?
Correct. So there's not any like massive push just on the normal Splash like homepage for it. So
we don't want the normies. We don't want the normies getting in.
Without saying it.
We want all of you to get in here. Thank you for clearing that up. So
thanks, Josh.
Make sure, again, we have all day today and tonight. So try to do this maybe during the show, right after the show. If you have any questions, let us know.
Email Josh.
Email Josh, right. Poseidon says, all right, guys, Phillips, Ventura, Eckroat, marry, date, kill. Well, we all know I'm marrying Phillips after my 70-1 shot. And Rick, doesn't Phillips have ties to this course? I thought I heard that from somewhere. Am I wrong? Maybe you didn't hear that.
I don't know. Okay. I'd be lying to you if I said I knew that. But he is. Listen, the kid's a stud, right? We've known that for. I mean, he's literally been on YouTube for like 15 years. I mean, he has chronicled his rise from junior golf through Stanford, now a PGA Tour winner. The kid's an absolute stud. Love both Eckroat and Ventura. Eckroat's really been in a struggle. Ventura is fine. Like, I think Phillips is clearly the best of his game right now.
So who's the date then? We're marrying Phillips. Who are we dating? Who are we killing?
I guess I'm killing Eckroat and dating Ventura. Eckroat's just been bad.
Yeah, I think I would give the same answer there. All right, Tomo says, is there any hope for fading the 10K tier and going with a balanced build? It's good to have you two back together. Thank you, Tom. So we talked about this on the DFS show, Rick, a little bit in terms of how the balanced builds just aren't going to get built for a lot of reasons. And it's not just because of the talent at the top, but it's because there is some, like, you know, some talent in the really bottom ranges. And that's where that barbell approach comes in. If you're going to build starting in like the 9K range and just build on some 8K guys, that's going to be a unique build. I feel like if you're building like 10 lineups, you have to have some of those builds, right, Rick?
Yeah, I don't like it. You're giving up
win equity.
Ton of it. Yeah. And it's not hard to make lineups with any number of these guys. It is. I agree. It'll be unique for sure. I just can't imagine starting my lineups, as much as I like these guys. Like, even if you started Hideki, Tommy, Berger, like what are you getting out of that? The ability to play.
I see what you're saying. Well, it's just having the unique
Ricky
lineup.
Fowler. Yeah, right. That's the only thing. It's unique.
So. But how about this? How about we don't relegate it to the just erasing the 10K range? Because I have a feeling if you started with like Ludwig and Justin Thomas, that would be at least a little bit more unique than Scotty and, you know, grab the next best guy.
Yeah, listen, like I think the Scotty Collin, I think is going to be, or like Scotty Ludwig is going to be like the start for a lot of people. So yeah, if you did anything else, Rory Xander, Scotty Ludwig, Scotty Cantlay, Colin, you know, whatever else. I don't want to read every other combination, but like anything else that is not Scotty plus Colin and or Ludwig, I think makes you unique.
Real quick on DFS, and I'm going on memory here. By the way, Josh in the chat says Phillips does have some ties to the area because he lives in the area and likely has practiced here. We'll have to try to confirm the extent to which he's done that later, but there's some really popular names. So to get different, hey, you don't play Scotty if you want to do that, but you can still get different by playing Scotty, of course. But there are some really popular names, like Straka is going to be really popular. Let's see, Michael Kim is going to be really popular. Yeah, I'm not looking at your ownership right now, but like I'm imagining like Keegan is going to get some ownership and because of his price. And let's see, yeah, Keegan's up there. Aaron Rye is going to be really popular. If you're just going to play all those guys, your lineup's going to be the same as everybody else's. Let's just like put it that way. So you want to get off some of that chalk when you're making your DFS lineups.
Doug Gim will be pretty popular.
For sure.
Agree. Yeah. So just don't play. So this is like the most, this is the big four to start. Like every single lineup is going to be Scotty Collin, Corey Connors, Michael Kim.
Yeah.
That is going to be the most common start.
Yeah. And I think Doug Gim gets sprinkled into those common builds and Sepp Straka for sure as well. All right. Jacob Jackson says, thoughts on Will Zalatoris three ball plus 140. Oh, I like this over Matt Fitzpatrick and Sahith Theegala.
I think they all stink.
Yeah, I think, but to the extent one of the games looks sustainable in terms of like not blowing up, it does feel like it's Will Zalatoris.
If you made me choose, I want the Zalatoris side of this because I'm just hoping he doesn't lose six strokes putting again and his ball striking numbers have looked really good. I think Fitzpatrick has been lost for 18 months and I think Sahith has been lost for 3 or 4 months. So yeah, I mean, I don't love this, but if you made me choose, I'd be on the Zalatoris side.
All right, you and Josh were talking about this before the show. Jeff Stenberg says, is it me or does moving the tree on 6T feel a bit goofy, like goofy golf?
Yeah.
Just put a windmill on 17 and the clown's mouth on 18. Rick, explain what he's talking about.
Yeah, so I think I called it hokey or like, I forget what I described it. So what they did is they installed a tree right on kind of the front, maybe 10 yards in front of front corner of the 6T box. And basically what it does is you now have to hit, I don't know, Josh, if you can get, you're the man. Like you have to hit like a shot that doesn't go any higher than like 40 feet in the air off that tee. Now you can see in this picture, those tee boxes are way back on this surface here. So they will likely move it up and it will not be as difficult as a shot. But yes, this is just completely manufactured, which I don't love. It's the only really kind of hokey thing on the course, so it's fine. But I think it would be such a cool feature, and obviously they can't do this. But like
if that tree had just grown that way over the last 100 years, it would be one of the most famous and memorable trees in golf. But to install it like that, I think is a little bit corny, but the rest of the course is so not corny that we can get away with it. But it's something. You don't see them just like install a tree and make you hit a punch shot very often.
Yeah, it's very awkward. Shout out to Josh for getting this picture up as fast as he did. If you're checking us out on YouTube, you can obviously see how this looks. Ray Brown says, can get Kim over Smalley at minus 132. Which Kim? Is it Michael Kim? Is it Tom Kim? Is it Chan Kim?
Presumably Michael.
Yeah, probably Michael. I like Michael Kim, but I think Smalley has got some upside too.
Yeah, I'm not battling Smalley. I think there was a three ball with Smalley and Stevens. I don't need to bet Michael Kim in this matchup against Alex Smalley. I just avoid it.
I think Smalley is a brilliant DFS play. The floor is certainly low for him, but I just feel like he's one of those guys in DFS that's not going to get a ton of attention and could really kind of push your lineup towards like a top 10 or something like that. Jordan Atenzia says you can get Nikolai Højgaard at plus money to Rasmus in the top Dane. I looked at that in the top Dane market. I think that's a great play. I thought Nikolai Højgaard was the favorite over Rasmus, though.
Oh, look, he should be. So before I even get there, I want the Nikolai side of this, but let's see if I can find top Dane. I can get top Nordic.
They do have top Dane on DraftKings, which I can, maybe they have it on BetMGM as well.
Well, I'm on DraftKings right now. I don't see it. I see top Nordic. I see top Swede. I see top continental Europe. Well, hold on. I guess we could do it that way. So let's see. Top Nordic. Ludwig. I mean, Rasmus is 7-1 and Nikolai is 8-1. So presumably they are going. I do want the Nikolai side of this.
Yeah. So good call, Jordan. Because I think it's probably BetMGM or FanDuel. But if I didn't see it at DK, I saw it at BetMGM because those are kind of the main two I bet. Okay. So yeah, plus money. I think Jordan, I think that's a good find. I mean, both these guys can ball out, obviously, but I like Nikolai a little bit better right now on this course in particular. JT Jones 8 says Rick's head to head fantasy. I gotta knock Hennessy out of first place. I'm struggling picking two between Siwoo, Akshay, Tom Kim, Knapp, or Poston. Any of those huge red flags at Sawgrass?
Poston, I think, is an incredibly interesting option, but he's literally lost like 20 strokes putting or 30 strokes putting in his last 8 starts. He's just lost it. I think you probably have to play the Kims, Siwoo and Tom. Akshay, you could sub in Akshay for either one of those. I wouldn't be upset with you. Knapp and Poston are probably a little too much in that. I know he's in my fantasy league. That's what he's referring to. So that's format. I think you have to play the Kims.
Yeah, I would give in DFS, I'm giving Akshay a little bit of love. He was obviously really bad last week, kind of got the bad end of the tee times and whatnot. But I think Akshay's a guy you could go back to this week at relatively low ownership.
Just to put a bow on the top Dane thing, you're right. It was BetMGM. They're offering top Dane, Nikolai's plus 110 to Rasmus's minus 135.
Yeah, I'd roll with the plus 110. Ray Brown, what's Scotty's chance to three-peat, Rick?
9%. I mean, listen, the betting markets say it's like 30. It's probably closer to like 9 or 11. He's going to give himself one of the best chances. He's not been as good as he has in 2024, but he's still the best player in the world. Like 10%. I expect for him to be in the mix for a very long time.
Yeah. Joe Neuenfeld is referencing my first round leaders, which, by the way, are Justin Thomas, Sepp Straka, Aaron Ryan, Will Zalatoris. He says, of those, I've got two matchups, Thomas over Henley at minus 110, which I don't love as a first-round matchup, or Straka over Day at minus 130. I don't love the number on Straka minus 130. I think that as good as Straka's playing, I don't know that I'd pay the minus 130, but I do like Straka over Day if I had to pick between those two. And by the way, don't be confused by the picture. Russell Henley is up next to Justin Thomas. That is, in fact, the pick is Justin Thomas at plus 3,500, Sepp Straka, Zal at 70-1, and Aaron Rye at 80-1.
Wow, we were just giving Josh all the love, and he just goes and puts the wrong headshot on somebody. It's a tough scene.
Well, it's good. It's good. Juju or what have you, because that's the winner last week, and so maybe that's good karma for JT. All right, let's see. Michael Heimseth says, any thoughts on Schmid? That's Maddie Schmid, top German at plus 100 only up against Jaeger. Interesting. I kind of like that, but I don't think I would be actually betting it.
BetMGM has it at plus 110. I would probably just not bet it. And if you made me bet it, I think I actually like the Jaeger side of it. But again, that like does not need to be, that does not need to be clicked. Unless you like, Michael, if you want to do this, like spend your money however you want to spend your money. I would not, but it's not my money. So I don't, you know, whatever.
It feels like there's not a huge edge there, at least in my estimation here. Brad Merrill says, do you like Michael Kim versus Maverick McNeely at minus 115? Okay, two things, Brad. I don't know if that's a tournament matchup or a round one matchup. I think if it's a tournament matchup, I like it a little bit better, but I don't think as a round one matchup, I'm not super fond of it. Rick, any thoughts here?
I would like the Michael Kim side again, probably not super, like you said, I don't know if there's a huge edge in that. I would prefer the Michael Kim side. I'm just like scrolling through. I'm impressed by the BetMGM offerings, quite honestly.
Yeah. So, you know, every book has their pluses and minuses when it comes to golf, because it's just for whatever reason, there's no uniformity. But BetMGM is certainly one of the good ones, for sure.
Like they've got, you know, Scottie Scheffler special, like bogey free to birdie or better, all par fives. Wow. The only thing I don't like is that there's not a no side to these, right?
Right.
Plus 650 to birdie or better, all par fives. I would love a no side of these, but interesting. Okay, cool.
Liddy says, Scotty top five at minus 110 is a no-brainer, right? I'm not betting that, but I mean, I can't be super critical of anybody that does. Rick, what are your thoughts there?
Let me check my runs here. Yeah, so this is the problem. So I forget who I said this about earlier. I think Michael Kim, where like your outright number then dictates a lot of your other numbers, right? And it's the same thing that's happening to Scotty here. His insane outright number impacts the rest of his numbers. So we all probably agree that Scotty Scheffler is not going to win this golf tournament 20% of the time. Like odds makers might be pricing him at. He's just not. So the problem is, that is now leaking into a top five market where odds makers are saying he's going to finish inside the top five half the time. Well, if we don't agree with the 20% number, we can't agree with the 50% number. When I simulated this, so I simulated it 1,000 times, Scotty wins somewhere between like 7 and 12% of the time. He finishes inside the top 10, like 25% of the time. These are outrageous numbers. They're so incredibly good, but not the way that odds makers are asking you to pay for it. So it's Scotty finishing positions are very hard to bet because of his outright number.
Totally agree. I mean, it wouldn't shock me at all if he finishes T8 instead of
first.
It would be a great week. That's right. Lydia, I would actually personally, I would avoid that bet for the exact reasons that Rick just gave. Joe Neuenfeld says, I might take Smalley over Stevens first round, minus 110. The thing about Stevens, Rick, I like Smalley, and we talked about the three ball with, I believe, Michael Kim, but Stevens can pop for a round. Like we saw him just, what was it, a month ago, where he actually contended. I remember I had a live bet on that at 55-1. And if he didn't leave, I think it was on 18, he needed like another yard on his approach shot. And he would add an eagle putt. Instead, it ends up in the water. Stevens can play. So I don't know that with Smalley, I want to target Stevens. I'd rather, because Smalley, I think, has more volatility than Michael Kim, which is why I kind of liked Michael Kim over Stevens with that minus 140 price. Any thoughts here?
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Stevens is kind of a one-round dangerous guy. I don't like the way his short game is trending. I would prefer, if I was Joe, I would prefer the Smalley side of this.
All right. Rich S. OAD, all but Oberg and Decky left up top. Best fit for this week between those two, Rick?
No. Between anybody but those two.
Oh, anybody but those two. Okay.
Right. So I was thinking, how did he already use everybody up top?
Yeah, good point.
So he says all but Ludvig and Decky left up top. So this goes back to the conversation we had earlier. Like, do you just want to play the best player in the world who's won twice in a row in the biggest purse? Or do you want to save it? Like, I kind of am starting to convince myself to save Scotty for the Masters, which he's also won twice. And he is going, it's going to be a 80 or 90 man field, and the purse is going to be a little bit smaller, and we got time to kind of see him work back into things a little bit. So I would say, like if I was Rich right now without knowing his positioning, Colin.
I would go with Scotty and just worry about the Masters later.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's like a right answer between those two.
The beauty about Scotty, you can play him now, you can play him later, you can play him a month from now. Like, like he's going to be the favorite to win any event that you put him in. So yeah, I don't mind that. I don't, obviously don't hate it.
Jeff Stenberg asks, have either of you ever looked at a pairing as a part of your picks? There's nothing worse than getting paired with somebody slow or that you hate. Rick, your response here. I've sometimes this kind of creeps into like when it's like a funny pairing or something, and I will like kind of narrative shop a little bit, but it's not something I look at.
No, I don't. mostly because there's not enough data, right? To say like, God, I don't even know who I would use as an example here. Like, does Rory McIlroy hate playing with Patrick Cantlay after the Ryder Cup stuff? Like, I don't know. And is there enough data to say one way or another? No, I think these guys are professionals for a reason. No, I do not use that as part of my picks. It's funny, all though.
Right. Yeah, I mean, let's see. I'm looking at, I don't think we have any more questions. If you have a last minute question, go ahead and drop it in the chat. Oh, Tyler Miller. He says, is there any ownership number that you that would scare you away from playing Scotty this week?
In DFS?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's like he's at it.
Which is what, 40% basically.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's I know it's like fence sitting or whatever, but there's a really good case to be made to fade a 40% anybody in a in a field of 144.
And if you're dead set on playing Scotty, you have to not play some of the, because we're looking at, we want to look at total ownership, especially when we're playing a 40% Scotty. I mean, I just don't think you can have your first two clicks Scotty and Michael Kim, even though it makes sense to do that first and be like, oh, let me figure out the other four. I just feel like some of those guys we talked about, Aaron Rye getting a lot of ownership. There's some of these guys you're just going to have to fade, I think, if you play
and
Scotty.
And to be clear, like once you start getting over 30% of any golfer, in any full field, it's probably too much. And Scotty has spoiled us for the last year by winning so many of these. But outside of him and Tiger Woods, it has always been too much.
You're reminding me of when Dustin Johnson went on his run. Like, and this is obviously pre-live, so this had to be like 4 or 5 years ago. You and I were doing the first cut together, and I made some statement about how good Dustin Johnson was for like a 6 month stretch, and I remember just making a ridiculous statement about like how good he was. And it's really what he was doing is what Scotty's doing now, except Scotty's been doing it actually for a little bit longer. And now, because I remember from the betting show yesterday, Dustin Johnson is 100-1 at the live event. Like, what has happened to this guy?
Which puts into perspective that like Tiger for 10 straight years or even longer was better than all of these guys is absolutely insane. So yeah, we're witnessing something right now. Like the score, like the Scotty last since 2022 is a moment in golf history that we will look back at and be like, holy crap, can you believe that run and how good he was and how like we're in that right now. Like, enjoy it, we're in it.
So I want to ask, I want to close the show asking you a question about Rory McIlroy as it pertains to this week, because he didn't even get brought up by the chat. We barely brought him up. We casually referenced him. But before I do that, Steve Murin asks, Rose or Damon this week for DFS? Now, if memory serves, Rose is 6,300. Damon is 5,100. Maybe Rose is 53. No, he's 6,300, I think. Damon's 5,100. He was brought up in the DFS show. Actually, both of these guys were. I kind of like both, but Damon at 5,100 makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little unfair because of the pricing. Right. Like, I think Rose is a better option, and I think Rose has legitimate upside to top 10 this event, because when Rose plays well, he can top 10 things. When Damon plays well, you usually get like a hot start from him and then he fades to like a T19 or something like that. But so I prefer Rose, but it's a little unfair because they are literally, the market is pricing them completely different.
Side note, Smalley is 5,400. We've been talking about him a lot. Carl Phillips, who we mentioned, is 5,600. And obviously we mentioned Doug Gim, who's also 5,600. Carl Phillips would be an amazing pivot off of Doug Gim, who's going to get at least some, actually, he's trending to be double digit ownership here. I think it'd be interesting to play both, if you really like Doug Gim, to play both Doug Gim and Carl Phillips, see how that goes. Nikolai Højgaard is 5,700. This is such a fun DFS week because of what you can do and how much potential upside there is at the bottom of the board. Let's see. The question about Rory Rick before we get out of here. Mm-hmm. We haven't really mentioned him. The thing about Rory that I think is so interesting is that it's almost like the Scotty treatment, where if Scotty doesn't have like a good round, or if he's just like kind of like mediocre for Scotty standards, we're like, oh man, he's way off. But I think we treat Rory even more severely than that, because there's so many times where even me watching Rory, I'm like, oh, what was that shot? What is this? But then I look at the leaderboard and he's like four or five shots back. So when it comes to this tournament, and when it comes to potentially fading Scottie Scheffler and maybe pivoting to a Rory McIlroy, who is half the ownership, he's still high, don't get me wrong, but he's half the ownership. It seems to me that he is like such a good, maybe not the best pivot, but such a good pivot, because just nobody's really talking about him.
Yeah, and it's the gift and the curse of being Rory McIlroy and a five-time major champion, and it only matters if you win a major or not, or if you win a golf tournament or not. I think from the sense of this, let me put his 2025 into perspective for you. So he goes to Dubai, he starts his year a lot in Dubai, finishes T4 there, awesome metrics. Wins at Pebble Beach, which I don't even think is that good of a golf course for him. Goes to Torrey Pines and has one of the worst putting performances of his career and still finishes T17. Last week, he looked miserable. He did not have the bounce. He hit some horrible shots with wedge in hand from the fairway. He lost at least a stroke on approach in his final three rounds, and he still finished T15. I mean, he is... You look at every single round that he has and you're like, why didn't he shoot a 63? Like, it was so bad today. And it was like the worst 66 you've ever seen.
Yeah.
So all that to be said, the perception around Rory McIlroy rarely aligns with the reality. And the reality is that he is an unbelievably high-end golfer who should play well at this golf course. And even if he does not have his best stuff, he is going to be in contention. And if he has his best stuff, he's going to win by four shots.
Our esteemed producer, Josh, has a theory on Rory McIlroy, which may be kind of an endorsement for him at TPC Sawgrass. Josh, would you like to pose your theory to the rest of us?
Twice in one show. I'm super excited about that.
This is sick. I love it.
I have no data to back this up, which is dangerous.
Earmuffs, Rick.
But yeah, Rick went to the drink. He's not even paying attention. I think Rory, the theory is that Rory gets bored on courses that are not visually stimulating. Torrey Pines, like from a golf layout perspective, of course, the Pacific Ocean and the coast is visually stimulating, but Torrey Pines is just hit a driver as far as you can and just ball strike your way around. And there's not a ton of like play around with Torrey Pines. It's just do your thing and ball strike around that golf course. And of course you have to ball strike your way around TPC Sawgrass, but there is more of an invitation to like hit less than driver, get creative off the tee because the distance isn't that big of a deal, and get him to do other things with his talent other than just hit the ball really, really far. And I think that keeps his brain engaged, and why it's much easier for him at Pebble to do things like execute on what he says about Scotty, which is just make the smart play, give yourself tons of birdie looks, hit greens. And then when you can really separate yourself, like going over the tree on 14 at Pebble and playing maybe the most ridiculous hole we'll see all year in terms of how he just dominated that hole that you should really just need to be hitting driver for basically everybody else. And he's hitting driver 7-iron and pick your spots in that way. And that's where he kind of can get a leg up and just be super talented with the consistency in the way that Scotty is so good at. And all that to say, I think TPC Sawgrass is a pretty stimulating course from a creativity perspective, and it could play well.
Josh, Go ahead, Rick.
There's definitely some truth to, I don't know if it's applies to Rory McIlroy, maybe it does, but there's definitely truth to this for some guys. Like Bubba Watson was like the simple version of this, where if he couldn't visualize his shot off a tree, working around something in the distance, like if he couldn't visualize something, it just ate him alive. So like to have things in the distance or to have landmarks, or like Josh is saying, like those visually stimulating things, like maybe Rory treats them differently, but maybe it is in the subconscious.
And the other part of it is when Rory gets frustrated, he just hits driver as hard as he possibly can. And at places like Torrey, like there's just rough, and most of those holes, like there isn't a ton of water, and he can just like, I'm just going to go up here and hit driver as hard as I can, and I'll probably find it even if it doesn't hit the fairway, and I'll be close to the green because I'm Rory. And he just ends up in places that he like is hit. Yeah, he's hitting wedge from way closer, and I know the stats will say that's still the right thing to do, but when there are other things for him to think about other than how close can I get to the green, how much can my driver give me the statistical advantage it tells me it gives me, I think he plays well.
Josh, the final question of this show goes to you then. We've got this Splash Sports One and Done, which everybody still can sign up for, needs to do it right now as you're listening to this on the podcast, perhaps, or on this show. Is Rory McIlroy your one and done pick?
He's not. I fundamentally, when the most money's up for grabs, I select Scottie Scheffler. And if it blows up in my face or I don't really get that big of an advantage, I can live with that. But if he does win and I didn't pick him, that's frustrating.
Yeah, I'm going with Jacob Bridgman, but I hear your argument 100%.
Almost Carl Phillips, of course.
Rick Gavin, have you disclosed anything? Are you holding back? You can't.
No, I won't hold back. I just haven't decided. I'll probably play either Colin or Hideki, quite honestly. I will let you guys, and rightfully so, play Scotty. I'll probably just play him at the Masters. So I will probably just play Colin, or probably Colin.
I think I might play Rory just to be, because I think the game on that's is not fantastic, but a little bit, I don't know. I think I'm going to go with Rory, try to get lucky with a win there and $4.5 million. All right. Well, this was a $4.5 million show as far as I'm concerned. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, everybody, for being in the chat. Thanks for your questions. We do this every single Wednesday. It's us three, but of course, also Patrick McDonald as well. That's who you'll see next Wednesday, we think, at 10:30. You know, we do the 7 o'clock show on Monday and Tuesday, the 10:30 show on Wednesday, the Friday evening show after round two. That's with Rick and Jason Sobel. And then, of course, the live chat with me, Patrick, Jason Sobel, and Mike McClure. That other live chat is at 1 o'clock on Sunday, and it sets up the live outrights and some of the matchups that are still remaining on the course. That is a very exciting and dynamic show. So on behalf of Josh, on behalf of Rick, this is the Early Wedge. Have a great Wednesday. Have a great Players Tournament. We'll see you very soon right here on Sportsline at the Early Wedge.
Paramount Podcasts.